You don't want to put my face on there, too?
Nope.
Welcome to the website here. My name is David Fanning. 1979, age 15, I started teaching my fellow students in high school in Huntsville, Alabama. The gospel converted several of them as a result of that. I had no idea that the power is so great. I was taught that, but I didn't know it until I started exercising it. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. So the bottom line is, a lot of my high school classmates became Christians, and many of them to this day are faithful, and as a result are converting other people as well. So that was at age 15. That's one of the reasons why I say that is because we've got several young people in here this morning, and I want you to know that you can't start too young, that the sooner you start, the better. And so at age 16, and that was in 1980, age 16 is when I started preaching publicly. I had no interest in doing that, but as I began to teach my fellow students and I saw them obey the gospel, it just kind of led in that direction. And as a result, I started preaching the gospel at age 1980 and at age 16, and I've been preaching ever since. At the same time, I started tent meeting work probably around, I'd say, 2010 or so. And actually, the Springer congregation in Hohenwald, Tennessee, is the one that oversees that work, even though I live in Alabama side right now. But the bottom line is that's how, through a lot of the efforts that I've had, I've met Timothy and his family. And so the bottom line is, if there's an issue here, then it's Timothy's fault because he's the one that mainly invited me to come and speak. And, of course, if it works out, hey, just brag about him, you know. And I won't include his family. I don't want them to get in trouble or anything. But if you'll notice, I got my email address there, davidfanning1, that's FANNING1@gmail.com. And I want you to, if you want to get my newsletters where I talk about my tent meetings that I have, and when I say I mean anybody in Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi, if you want a tent meeting, it costs you $0. The tent's paid for, the PowerPoint, everything's paid for, the chairs are paid for, the songbooks, everything. You can actually have a tent meeting at no cost. And we'll help you set it up and help tear down. And we were really going extremely well until COVID hit. We had 8 lined up, and then COVID hit, and so we're more around the 4 range right now. But my whole goal and hopes are that we can begin to duplicate this, and so our 8 becomes 12, becomes 24. And what I would do then is I would raise funds to get more tents and get more things that are, you know, cost-effective, because most congregations are this size, maybe a little bit larger, but and these are the congregations primarily that I encourage and help. And so I'm delighted to be here. I actually grew up in a 400-member congregation, but this is the kind of congregations I love. It's a smaller congregation, and these are the ones that I've been preaching for many, many years. So I feel very much at home here. But you guys can have a tent meeting here, and it costs you nothing. So be thinking about that and discussing that, because that is what I look forward to doing. So we have them in Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi. And I got a group in Missouri and Arkansas also that are doing tent meetings. So if you want one in those areas, let me know. And anywhere you want to have them, we can do that. I went up to Alaska a couple of years ago, and we did that, and it went fantastic. So, you know, we want to definitely continue to spread the tent meeting. I'll tell you right now, most people will not come to the church buildings anymore, but they will come to a tent meeting. So we average 1 baptism per tent meeting. And we've been doing that, like I said, for several years now. So I would encourage you to pray about that and look more into it. My lesson this morning actually has to do with communism versus Christianity. And the first thing I want you to keep in mind is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." That will become more and more significant to you as we see that there is not only an attempt to take over the United States in a communistic type way, but we are actually feeling the results of that right now, and if they continue like they are, it is going to happen to us. And as a result, then, you're going to be leaning toward God like you never thought you could lean toward God before. I started talking about this in June of 2020 in Iuka, Mississippi. This is when I first talked about this topic, when I began to realize that what's called the Great Reset was actually in play and was really going to happen. And as a result, I began to talk about this, and all the members there had no idea what I was talking about. And thankfully now, more and more people understand what I'm talking about, because this is Satan at his best, if you want to call it that, okay? And he is going to bring evil into our nation like we've never seen before. So we've got to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That we may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. And by the way, if you've been looking in the scripture to find the Methodist denomination, that's the closest you're going to get. The word wiles is methodia, and it means tricks. Tricks of the devil. You know, there's only one church you find in the Bible. That's the Church of Christ. So if you're trying to find the others, you might find little fragments, but it won't be what you think. But wiles is actually methodia. Methods. There are methods of the devil. The slanderous, what that literally means. that he uses. So we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the roars of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we're not just looking at human agency and influence. We're looking at spiritual agency and influence, and in particular in the evil realm. And all of our, no matter how old you are, in combining all of us together, in our life's experience, we have never seen human and spiritual evil come together like we're going to see and are seeing in the situation we're going through right now. Now, what's going to happen is they're going to tell you that the problem with the United States or the problem with the world or the problem, they're going to come up with something to try to divide us. That's what they do. That's what communism does. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible's very clear what the problem is, has always been. The problem with our nation and the problem with the world is sin. Sin is a reproach to any people. The word reproach means disgrace. Sin brings disgrace. And what is sin? Sin is where we miss the target. We miss the target. God puts the target out there. The Bible's the target, in particular the New Testament. And he puts it out there. We miss the target, we sin. And as a result, we are a reproach or a disgrace. And so the reason for our nation having its issues and the world having its issues is because we've gotten away from God and his word and his truth. And as a result, we are now a disgrace. And the good news is we are the solution. You know, because a lot of people, they'll talk about the problems, you know, this problem, that problem. Okay, yeah, we have problems. Do you have a solution? Oh, no, I was just going to tell you about the problems. You know, no, we're here to talk about solutions as well. So we're talking about communism. And the whole idea behind communism is to demoralize a society, which has already happened. It especially started in the 60s, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. And as a result, then, that has come into full play to where now a girl's not sure if she's a boy or a girl. And, you know, the list goes on and on about the garbage that they're planting into our young people's head. They're doing that on purpose to demoralize us. Because if you can take the morals away from a society, you can get them to do anything you want to do. Because you're taking the standard away. You're taking the anchor away. You're taking what keeps a person from doing what you want them to do. You're taking it away from them. And once you take that away, then you can do anything you want with them. And that's the power of communism. And then more particularly, that's the power of the wiles or the tricks of the devil as he works to make this happen. So when you demoralize a nation, you then can de-Christianize it. So the bottom line is they're taking Christianity out. We are the number one enemy. The number one enemy right now. Now they'll say white supremacist. That's what they're trying to word it as right now. The number one terrorist in the United States, and I'm sure some of y'all have heard this, is white supremacists, which, by the way, the FBI has been given assignment that the more white supremacist cases that come up, they got a quota they got to meet. This just came out. They got a quota they got to meet. Well, the problem is they can't find it. It is so small, they can't find it. So now they're going after, you know, the mothers, you know, at the superintendent, not superintendent level, but the school board level. In places like that, they're trying to just recategorize and redefine what white supremacy is, you know, and as a result, come up with their own cases because they had to meet a quota because they can't find it. But what this is leading to, because you're thinking, that's crazy, man. Why in the world would they do that? What this is leading to is this is to demonize you and me, whether we're white or anything else, as Christians, because we are the number one threat of this movement that's happening right now. It's not like maybe this will happen to us or maybe this thing's coming. No, it's already here and it's already happening. The different stuff that's happened in the last 2 years, you're thinking, why is that? Why do we have a shortage of food? Why is it now, you know, that this inflation thing all of a sudden happened? You think, you know, well, houses going up in Nashville and houses going up in Huntsville, Alabama, and houses going up, you know, in certain areas of the United States, that makes sense, but houses going up everywhere, even in, you know, Podunk, Tennessee somewhere, right? Their houses gone up, you know, 40% or whatever. How could that be? Well, that's all been planned. Every bit of it's been planned. So all the stuff that seems weird to you has actually been planned and been planned for many, many years and has been put in place. And so what you're seeing is now a takeover is what you're seeing. And really, to get more specific as to what the real threat is, it's world elites combining with big business. And by the way, it's the essential businesses, okay? Because you remember back in the COVID situation, they're like, okay, now the essential business, they stay open, but the non-essential business don't stay open. And we've never heard that before in our entire life, right? And by the way, in the United States, we've never had that happen before or worded that way before, because guess what? Every single one of us are essential, right? So why in the world we have this division now of essential versus non-essential? Because big businesses are forming, and they'll be part of this takeover that's already happening, by the way. And so you got these elites, these world elites from all over the world, most of them being professors and scientists and technology type people, and they're coming together in government as well. And they're coming together along with the big business to collude. I use that word on purpose. And that's what's called, by the way, fascism. I can't believe it. I went to high school and, you know, we talked about communism and fascism. I thought, you know, I learned it and I got, you know, a good grade on the test and I was done, right? And I just kind of threw it out in my head. Right? I'm thinking, now I got to figure out what this thing means. And I got, now I'm actually living it because now we're in a fascistic situation. Because what is fascism? Well, basically, if you go back to history and you look at Italy, Mussolini used fascism. If you go back to Germany, Adolf Hitler used fascism. What it is basically the government working together with corporations to take over a population. If you just want to simplify it, that's the best way to do it. And that's what's happening now. So it's a form of communism, but it's a specific form of communism. So it's fascism that's actually taking over us right now as I speak. And so why are they doing this? Why? Because they want to get our Judeo-Christian principles out of our economy, out of our society, and put in their system. And the bottom line is this. You take the standard of the Word of God, get it out, then I'm going to put my standard in here. And that's what they want to do, see. And guess what? Their standard is immoral. It's not moral, it's immoral. That's why you have these drag queens being pushed, trying, oh, we need to get them all schools now, you know, and all this other garbage, thinking, where's this coming from, man, you know? Well, it's pretty simple. It's all been planned, every bit of it. Demoralized, de-Christianized. Get the Bible out of here. By the way, get the churches out of here. I don't know when it's going to happen when we can't assemble anymore. You say, wow, man, we'll always be able to assemble. Well, was it not the case they said during COVID we're not supposed to assemble, especially in certain places? That was not coincidence, by the way. That was all planned. So they've already tried it. It worked. Thankfully, I heard you guys kept your doors open. Most churches of Christ did not. I'm ashamed. I really am. I'm ashamed. But thankfully, most have repented now. And the fact of the matter is you guys stood firm, and I appreciate that very, very much, but very few did not do that. So the problem with our nation, no doubt, is because we're getting away from Christianity, it's easy now to fill that void with something else. And that void's going to be what's called fascism, which is where you take the world elites and they combine their efforts with big business to then take over our population. But our real problem is this. See, the bottom line is if we can get sin out of our society, I'm talking about as a general rule, like we did, you know, when it was founded, then we can get this all straightened out. It's a big problem right now, and it's a massive problem, but we can get it straightened out because we've got to deal with the real issue, and the real issue is sin. The real issue is sin. And as Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So our nation was based on righteous principles of the Word of God, and therefore that's the reason why we've been the greatest nation ever in the history of the world. At the same time, we are now a reproach to the world, and as a result, that's because of sin. So we've got to now attack sin and get sin out as much of our society as possible and bring it back to a righteous level. So that's going to be the theme, basically, of this series of lessons is righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, a nation's sin can eventually provoke or cause the wrath or intense anger of God. If you look at Genesis 15:16, God tells Abraham approximately 2,000 years before Christ is born, the iniquity or sin of the Amorites is not yet complete. When you look at that terminology, you're like, oh, so there's a certain period or certain amount that God looks at concerning sin that once it reaches that point, then he destroys a nation. That is correct. That is correct. And, you know, a few years back, I preached this not in relation to fascism or communism, but because at that time I didn't realize these things were going on. And the fact of the matter is that that is a principle within the Scripture. You know, all nations have failed, right? Why have they failed? Sin. Sin. Pretty simple, folks. Pretty simple. And you're like, well, all nations have sin in them. Yeah, all nations have sin in them, but once it reaches a certain point, God destroys it. And I know through the years when I've preached to congregations about this kind of thing before, you know, I talk about, you know, the discipline of God. Sometimes God has to clean out house, you know. And most of y'all may not realize that when Jesus first started preaching, he went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. But guess what? At the very end of his preaching, he did the same thing. He went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. He cleansed the temple at the beginning of his preaching. He cleansed the temple at the end of his preaching. And God, from time to time, has to cleanse the church. He has to cleanse nations, etc. That's, again, a biblical principle in both Old and New Testament. So we're seeing this verse here that lets us know that the iniquity or the sin of the Amorites as a nation have not hit a certain point. But once it does, then God's going to destroy it. We look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. We bring it to the New Testament. And Paul says around 51 years after Christ is born, he tells the Christians about the Jews. He says, the Jews fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the utmost. And so then you go, you know, just 19 years later, and guess what? Rome destroys the Jewish economy in AD 70, destroys the Jewish temple, destroys the genealogical tables to where you can never, ever have a legitimate Israel religion ever again, because they have to trace back to the high priesthood for Levitical priesthood to be legitimate, and they can't do it because God made sure that Rome destroyed those and that information. So when you have people say, you know what, oh, this is like the end of times, what's going on in our nation right now, you know, and it's, you know, we got to think about our brethren in Israel, you know, and of course this is all, you know, made up stuff that came from Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth, and then of course the Left Behind series, you know, with the idea of premillennialism and all that kind of stuff. And they're coming up with this idea that we're connected with Israel of today. No, we're not connected with Israel today. Now, they're an ally from the standpoint of government and secular reasons, no doubt about that. But Israel's not connected with us all. You know why? Because we're the new Israel. We're the new Israel. We're made of Jew and Gentile combined together. We're one body in Christ. And the Israel that's over there is actually a false Israel, because they're not based upon the Old Testament, because they cannot trace their genealogy. And what happened to them? Well, their sin, right? And as a result of their sin, it met a certain measure. And as a result, God's anger, His intense anger, then came upon them. And the Romans then destroyed the Jewish economy, never to ever be back in full force again because of their sin, right? So that's New Testament. Now, again, sin causes the fall of a nation. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah. They fell approximately 1,900 years before Christ was born. And why did they do that? Look at Genesis chapter 18. Because their sins were grave or heavy. Again, they're looking at that measure. Do all nations have sin in them? Yes. To what degree? Well, that's what God, He makes that judgment. If it's to a certain degree, guess what? He destroys it. North Israel, as you well know, there was 12 tribes of Israel. Then 10 of the 12 broke off and decided, you know, we're going to worship other gods, and we're going to set up our capital in Samaria. Well, that wasn't God's will, was it? That's not what the Old Testament teaches. The majority of tribes worship gods, and the majority of tribes set up a headquarters that God did not set up. And they were still God's people, but guess what? They were God's erring people. God's people that had erred or fallen away from Him. So finally He said, if you don't get it right, if you don't get this thing straightened out, I'm going to destroy you. And guess what? They fell 722 years before Christ was born. Why? Because Amos tells us it was their transgressions, their sins, that caused them to finally be destroyed as the 10 tribes. And they never were the same again. To this day, they're never the same. So what about the United States of America? Man, we are, you know, the light set upon the hill. I mean, we are the Judeo-Christian nation, you know, that's proven itself, blah, 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 right? So there's no way that we can fall. Oh, yeah. As the old saying goes, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, right? You think about some of the stuff that we've done as a nation. Now, I know that the citizens as a whole, we haven't done this, but the powers that be have. You know, in the 70s, when there was 9 who said, you know what? It's okay if you murder an unborn baby. That's all right. I mean, the ultimate innocence, folks. It's okay. Now, they have now made the right decision to get it out of the Supreme Court, because, see, the Supreme Court's not supposed to make laws. They're not Congress. They're not legislators. They can't make that law. Yet they did that back in the 70s, and we were with this for over 50 years. Thankfully, they righted that wrong, put it back to the states, but still the states have got some job to do, don't they? To say, you know what, life begins at conception. And some of the states have already done that, but a lot of them haven't. But at least we made right that wrong to a certain degree. But look what we did to the whole world when we allowed that to happen in the 70s. When we didn't rise up, folks. And I'm talking about we as Christians did not rise up. Now, we talked about it a lot, got upset about it. But what did we do? Well, evidently not much of nothing, because we never did get it resolved up until now. We never had it resolved. And as a result, we had millions and millions and millions and millions of babies that were murdered. Murdered. And, you know, if you study that a little bit more, and I hadn't done a ton of study on this, but the more that I'm doing research and all, the more I'm concluding that one of the biggest reasons why this murder of unborn babies worked out the way it did, again, the powers that be, the elites that are controlling a lot of the stuff, is because they wanted to eliminate or control the population of the black. That's really true. Planned Parenthood and those types of things. When you begin to study that, you begin to realize, you know what, these were a bunch of racists who were going up against the black communities And they were putting all these policies into place to try to control their population. Because if they had not, then as a result, they would eventually become from a minority to a majority. We've been more like an Africa. That's the way the type of people think. The same type of people that are trying to take control of us right now as a whole, as a population. So at that time, they were using the blacks as an experiment. And by the way, it worked because they not only limited the population of the blacks, but also they were able to put laws in place to where, you know what, if you have a husband in the home, you're not going to get these benefits. And so guess what? The majority of the black families don't have a dad in the home. And boys, that created a lot of problems. So that was that where the experiment started. And now the experiment's on us, all of us, where they're trying to pit the children against us, you know, by teaching things in the schools to mess their brains up. And they come home and say, you know, Dad, I know that, you know, biologically I'm a male, but, you know, I feel like I'm a female. And then all of a sudden you got this division. Or now as they begin to say, okay, guess what? If you're 14 or whatever age you are, you can go ahead and mutilate your body and become what you think that you are, and you don't even have to tell your parents. And what that does, again, they're trying to separate the children from the parents. And you're saying, well, why in the world would they do that? Again, this is all part of the big plan. Every bit of it is. It's part of the big plan. So yes, the United States can fall. And by the way, we are in the process of falling right now. Filling up the measure of our sins. 1 John 3, 4 tells us that whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, because sin is lawlessness. Now, whose law is it against? Well, it's against God's law, right? And where's his law? It's called the law of God, by the way, in Romans 7, 22. Well, the law is in the New Testament, isn't it? In 1 John 5, verse 17, the Bible defines sin as all unrighteousness. Well, who says that what is right and who says what is wrong? Well, again, God does that. Now, if you take God out of it, you know, out of the plan, then guess what? What you think is murder may not be what I think is murder. And what you think is two genders, I might think is 30 genders. I mean, the list goes on, how we can change all this stuff, right? And again, that's the goal of the elites who want to change our nation and the world by that way. So look at this. It's incredible as we think of the mind of God. And you look at Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to them who call evil good and good evil. That's the kind of society we're in right now. And Isaiah talked about this hundreds of years ago, right? Because he was in the same situation. Now guess what? History is repeating itself. And we're in the same situation. We got people calling evil good and good evil. Well, no, it's not murder. It's just eliminating a fetus, you know. Or it's not fornication. It's just homosexual marriage. I mean, we redefine all these different terms, right? And so that's what's happening here. We're calling evil good and good evil in our society. So the reason why you and I are the enemies now, the elites who are trying to take over the United States, and the reason why they now have been able to successfully, right now at least, successfully be able to take control of the FBI to where they're actually looking at you and me now, monitoring every move that we make through our phones and through our social media and all these other things, is because they want to put their standard in place. They want to make us in their image and not in God's image, you see. And they want to redefine the term. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. What you're doing is nothing wrong with a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman, you know. So Revelation 21, verse 8 says this. It says, murderers and fornicators shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is second death. That's what God says about it. Murder is always going to be sinful and wrong and can lose your soul if you don't repent of it. And fornication the same way. And you can lose your soul over that as well. So I want to prove to you, based on some of the documentation that we have of our own founding fathers, that our nation was based upon Judeo-Christian principles, primarily Christian principles. John Adams to Thomas Jefferson in June of 1813 said, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence, I answer the general principles of Christianity. I believe that those general principles are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." Now, that's where the elites in the world say, you know what? We cannot get past this Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all these other things that these founding fathers who had some degree of appreciation for the Christian principles had put into place. We've got to eliminate the Constitution. We've got to demonize the system of the United States and say they're systemically racist. Or say that, you know, the founding fathers were all about slavery and redefine our beginning of our nation at 1619 and how we founded our whole nation on slavery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you get all this garbage coming in. And or what they call critical race theory, which they had to redefine as social emotional learning, because now we're catching on to what they're doing, you know, by saying that we as white folk are intrinsically racist. We can't help it. As soon as you're born, you're racist, is what they're teaching. Which, of course, by the way, is a racist doctrine, isn't it? You know, it's just like people saying, don't judge me. Well, what are you doing? You're judging me by saying not judge me, right? So they're saying, you know, that why, if you're white, you're racist no matter what. And they got to the point now, and of course they used Black Lives Matter for a while to do this, and finally it's starting to fall apart. But Black Lives Matter started as a Marxist organization, which means a communistic organization. Even the founding ladies said that. Lesbians, by the way, the founding lesbian ladies said that. And they were basically saying, you know what, the United States and the whole way, all the institutions of the United States are systemically racist. Of course, most everybody, if you ask them what systemic means, they don't, I don't know what that means, you know. Even the ones saying it, I don't know what that means, you know. But what they're basically saying is the system not only is broken, but the system never was good to start off with. So we need to redo the system and put it in our own image. Well, guess what? Our system was put in the image of God with Christian principles, as is stated by John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. And as I began to bring this up to modern day, when we began more and more as a society, especially some of our leaders in our society who have fought for our nation, began to realize the dangers of what was going on, there were 124 generals and admirals that came together and wrote a letter May 9th of 2021. And these were those who have protected our nation for years and years and years against communism and fascism and terrorism and all the other stuff that's out there. Have gone into all kind of different nations and situations, and they've been able to protect our nation all these years. And then they retired, you know. A lot of them in their 80s enjoying their grandchildren, right? Oh, this is great. I'm living the greatest nation in the world. It's protected. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, no, we're not protected anymore. I know enough about, you know, communications and about intelligence to know that we're in trouble. We're in dire trouble. This is a true takeover here. And we need to alert the whole United States of America. And at this time, most people still weren't alerted. Here's what they stated. Here's what they signed. Our nation is in deep peril, in deep trouble. We are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other since our founding in 1776. So keep this in mind. When I first started talking about this in June of 2020, everybody's like, I think David, you know, he's getting older and everything. Maybe he lost a little, you know, screw or whatever up in there. And by the way, when I first started studying this, I was thinking I was losing the screw too, because I'm thinking, I just can't believe this could be happening, you know? It's like that denial, the stage of denial. You're in the denial thinking, there's no way the United States is going to be taken over by anybody. And sure enough, I realized by research and all that it was being taken over. And I started in June of 2020, and even though everybody's like, eh, you know. And as I did these tent meetings, and as I was presenting this information in the tent meetings, I had some brethren say, you know, we don't need to bring politics into the church. I'm like, well, wait just a minute here. Number one, Paul was a political figure the whole time. You know, he used politics to be able to get, you know, be able to survive so he could preach the gospel, right? He appealed to his Roman citizenship. You know, he appealed to the courts of Rome, right? And so he was using politics all the time. On top of that, our black brethren got their civil rights through efforts of the Lord's church back in the 60s. And we had no problem with that. Well, maybe at first some of us may have had a problem with it. I don't think black brethren ought to be doing that, you know. But guess what? They finally got their rights, didn't they? And rightfully so. But they used the pulpit. And I always say, you know what? Christianity is supposed to be in every aspect of our life, including political. And I want to know more than anything else, I want to know what a faithful Christian understands about this particular political issue or that political issue, because I want to make sure it's as consistent with the Word of God as it could possibly be. Why in the world would we want to rule out not being able to talk about a certain topic? We've had that problem in the church for many years now. But don't mention any denomination names. So I can say homosexual, and I can say lesbian, and I can say, you know, fornicator. I can say all these things in a pulpit, you know. And there may be somebody in here who's getting embarrassed or getting ashamed or feeling kind of bad or wanting to go out the door as I preach on these matters, because guess what? They're guilty of it. But I can't say Baptists and Methodists, and I'm like, I can say Islam, you know, I can say Buddha, but I can't say, you know, Nazarene or whatever. That's kind of weird, isn't it? So all of a sudden now, I'm getting a list of, okay, you can say this in the pulpit, but you can't say that. When Paul makes it very clear in Acts 20, verse 27, we're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, including politics, by the way. And I will tell you right now, whenever politics gets involved in your Christian life, you don't have a choice. You have to stand up. And when they started getting involved in the moral issues, that's when we didn't have a choice. If you want to say, you know what, I don't have anything to do with politics, or I don't want to take sides or whatever, at one time you might could have said that. You can't say that now. Because the Bible is very clear about what the true moral issues are and what the righteous judgment of God is. And now we got not just one party, but we got another party that's part of this too. Not all of it, but part of it too, that is pushing this immoral, anti-Christian, anti-God standard that they're trying to change us over to. And these admirals know this. It says, we never had this since the 1776. The conflict is between the supporters of socialism and Marxism, which, you know, John Marx is the one who started communism, and supporters of a constitutional freedom and liberty. So what does that mean? That means if we don't get this straightened out, you and I are not going to have the freedoms that we used to have. We're not going to be able to assemble in this building anymore. Now, we'll have to go in hiding. The church had to do that through the years, in our houses and what have you. Maybe caves. I mean, I know it sounds silly, but really, seriously, you start having to think that way. And so things are changing, folks, and changing fast. I can only imagine. I'm just thinking, June of 2020, when I talked about this, and now the changes that have already happened since then just blows my mind. So what is Marxism? The political and economic philosophy of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, in which the concept of class struggle plays a central role in understanding society's allegedly inevitable development from oppression. That's just a fancy way of saying we got division in society, and I've got the answer. So what you're basically looking at here is you're looking at these, you know, basically these philosophers who say, you know what? Man's got it all wrong. I got the answer. And I got to thinking, you know, we've seen this since the beginning of time, have we not? And just to make it, to bring it into closer situation with us, is it not the case that in Jesus' day, the experts and the elites of his day were the Pharisees? And they were trying to control the Jewish people, the Jewish population, were they not? And they were called experts. And they were wrong. So you got Anthony Fauci. Expert, right? Expert. Let's get the experts on here, right? Totally wrong. Totally wrong. And the list goes on. Of the experts of the day, totally wrong. Same in the day of Karl Marx, totally wrong. But yet he thought he was an elite. And here's another one. When you go to Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, the Apostle John writes those books, and the primary idea behind those books is Gnosticism. I know it's a fancy term that I'm sure you've heard from Timothy or Brian, and it's hard to remember, but the bottom line is it's a Greek word which means no. No. So guess what? I know stuff you don't know because I'm an elite. I'm an expert, and I got the answer. You don't. That's what Gnosticism is. Well, that's what Marxism is too. It's like, you know, these societies are so messed up. You got the employer and the business, you know, and the owners, and then you got the little old workers, you know, and they're just making all this money for the workers, and this is just not right. And you know, that's what they do. They kind of, oh, that's right, it's not right, is it? You know, it gets you all emotional and everything. And what you don't realize is now that they got you on their team, then all of a sudden they knock out these employers and owners, and they only have just a few elite, and they take over everybody. And now it's far worse than what it was when you thought it was so bad when you were the worker and, you know, you thought it was unfair how your boss was doing you this way or that way, or you were getting a small bit of the money that you were producing through your work at work or whatever, right? Look at these key words here. Capitalism. Well, the United States is capitalist, right? Well, they don't want us to be capitalist. Not in the way that we understand it. They want us to be socialists. The socialist ideology of the followers of Karl Marx, a radical and revolutionary. Have you heard the word revolution? And some of us say, oh yeah. Political philosophy that aims to capture state power. Is it what's happening right now? Our state power is being captured. Introduce a dictatorship and then progress to communism. Now, keep this in mind. When we talk about communism or fascism, there's always a figure that's up there. You know, like you got Xi in communist China, but he still has what they call oligarchs. He still has these wealthy and well-controlled elites that are around him that have a big part in how he runs China. So even though you're looking at a communistic or fascistic set up in an economy or a system or a nation, and it looks like there's one dictator like Adolf Hitler, you still have let's just call it his cabinet. You have these other people around him that are part of that leadership as well. So to make it simple, it's elites. The elites that tell everybody else what to think, what to do, what to say, what to buy, what to not buy, etc. Okay? This is what we're looking at here. to introduce a dictatorship and then progress to communism. So socialism becomes communism, what they're basically saying here. The need to overthrow capitalism, notice that. Renounce private property and personal wealth, national identity, etc. Right now, BlackRock. Why is it that all these places are getting bought up and there's not just the value, the up value of a property. But I'll give you an extra $20,000, which by the way, it's kind of gone away now, but up until just a couple of weeks ago, this is the way it was. Man, you know, $200,000, I'll give you $220,000 for this place. And it's not, again, just in Nashville and other places like that. It's everywhere, or was. Well, it's because BlackRock, who is the number one investment bank in the world, who, by the way, when we had all this free money that was put out there by the Federal Reserve, most of that money went to folks like them. And they're buying all these properties up. Why are they doing that? So they own them and you don't. They own them and you don't. They want to get us to the point to where you don't own property, you don't own land, you don't own nothing. They're already doing this. And you think about the young people. I mean, they were on the verge. Now I can finally afford a home. I can go in the bank. I can show them my credit. I can put 20% down. I can do all these things. And then inflation hits, which was man-made, which was caused on purpose. Inflation hits. And now you know what? There goes my dream. Can't do it now. And that's happened to over 20 million people in the United States. Unbelievable. Private property, personal wealth, national identity. National identity. Is our national history and identity being threatened right now? Oh, absolutely it is. Characterized by a single ruling party, centralized economic planning, the curtailment of individual liberties. And what's interesting is when you look up the Webster's dictionary on this, on the C part it says loosely leftist or socialist ideas. They even say it, you know, if you're a lefty, that this is the philosophies that they have. And their philosophies are destructive, and they're wanting to destroy the United States of America. Marxism, an example of Marxism, is replacing private ownership with cooperative ownership, which means that the elites and the big corporations own it and you don't. That's fascism. An example of communism is governing system in Cuba, where the government controls everything and doles out benefits such as money, health care, and food. Why do you think there was a president that stood up and said, you know what? We want to fundamentally change our healthcare system. And when we do this, you can keep your doctor, your premiums will go down, and everything will be fantastic. And then when they did that, basically the government took over our healthcare system. You know why? Because it makes up about 2/3 of our economy. My premiums went up 3 times. I don't even have, it's hard to even get a doctor, a sane doctor per se. Now it's like going to clinics. Why is all this changing, you know? Why is all this happening? Well, there's a reason why. It's all been planned, every bit of it. Every bit of it's been planned. And it's where we're being taken over by the elites. Keep this in mind. Russia was formerly called the USSR, meaning Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. So when they talk about, you know, we need to be more unified and we need to come together, you know, we need to be more inclusive. All these terminologies that they use, it has a different meaning than what you think it means. Same with the idea of socialists. Oh, I want to be great. You know, just kind of like you go back to the New Testament, how the church and they all had in common, they put all their money together. That's a commune, right? That's what they say, right? But it's not the same thing. That's for another discussion, by the way. Not the same thing. But they like to run the stuff like that and say, hey, it'd be better if we just all, you know, pretty much have the same level of income and same situation and have a commune. But they don't mean that, folks. It makes it sound so good, but they don't mean that. They want to take us over. Now, one of the final things I want to mention is when you look at Karl Marx, he says the first requisite of the happiness of the people is the abolition of religion. They've got to get rid of Christianity. And he says that 3 different times in his writings. And I want to give this handout to you because our time is up. Is our time up? Yes. Okay. Okay. I want to give this handout because it gets more into detail about, you know, what Karl Marx says. He wants to abolish religion, family, personal property, individualism, eternal truth, which is morality, countries and nations, and history in particular. So we have these statues being knocked down. We have our 1776 history being rewritten to 1619. We have all these things happen. This is all how they do it. And so they got the playbook. They've had it for years. And one thing I've learned too, because the first guy that ever converted to Christ, his name was Fred Kennel. They just moved close to Knoxville. Now they were in the Nashville area. So he obeyed the gospel when he was 15, the very first person ever led to Christ. His dad was an atheist, and he was one of the Germans that came over from Germany for the rocket program for Werner von Braun there in Huntsville, Alabama. And the fact of the matter is that when we destroyed Nazi Germany, we did not destroy Nazism. Now, his dad was not a Nazi, but there were some that came over. By the way, CIA secretly brought them in, unlawfully brought them in. They're scientists that were doing all these horrible, cruel things in Germany. Brought them in, and we've had them in our society, and we've plugged them into our system for many, many years. And now some of this stuff that's coming out, you know, you think about the Frankenstein movies, that's all entertainment, right? Well, guess what? It's real from the standpoint that they're looking at our human cells now just like they do a computer chip. And they're going to learn, they're already doing this, by the way. They've progressed a ton. And by the way, our money's been paying for this. And the Pentagon is really heavily involved in this. It's called DARPA, if you want to look it up. But they're working very hard now to not only get all the data on our behavior, which is what the social media is doing, so they know exactly how we think and why we think the way we do, and they're trying to form robots and other things to kind of conform with the way we are to try to imitate what we're doing so that they can, guess what, not just create a computer that's like a human, but greater than a human, and then combine the human with the computer to where we're superhumans. We're cyborgs, you know? Again, this sounds like science fiction. It could never happen, but guess what? They're on the verge. And so they look at our cells and they say, you know what? If we could tap in the DNA, well, guess what? They've already done that. So not only collect our data for our behavior, but now they want to collect our DNA. I wonder how they're going to do that. Think an mRNA vaccine or something might could do something like that. You think it's why it's such a push when you got less than 1% who get infected by a virus, what they call COVID? That gives them the excuse to put the mRNA in there so they can start figuring out our DNA and everything and eventually control it. Anyway, look at this sheet here on communism and read it and study it, because this is what's happening now. And guess what? All the stuff that's happened to us will make sense. And guess what? From now on, you'll be a skeptic. You'll be one who doubts to say, you know what? This is what they said happened, but I think this is what's really happening because now I got their number. See? This is what's called the Great Reawakening, which is those of us who claim Christian principles, we are standing tall. Even though I felt like I was like one of the few that was saying that stuff about this in June of 2020, I mean, there are thousands of us now saying stuff, which is good. It's encouraging. Very encouraging. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, I'm sure you're already informed to a certain degree and hopefully get more informed, because, folks, we have all got to work together and team up together, number one, to pray, because we are God's people. And God only hears the prayers of the righteous people. And number two, because we have the truth and we are the ones that can stand and put the forces of God against the forces of evil. We are the answer. That's what's exciting. That's what's exciting about this gospel meeting is that I want to give you answers on how we are able to defeat this stuff. And the first thing is to realize when they start saying, well, racism is the problem, or the way your economic system's set up is the problem, or whatever they say, it don't matter what they say. The problem is sin, and we've got to take that sin problem away. And, of course, we'll talk about how we do that throughout the gospel meeting. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we close out?
Around here, instead of Black Rock, is America Reads.
Is that the ones that are taking over the area? You see, you say, well, why are they doing that? Folks, I'll tell you why.
We're not in the dark. Plus, it was in the newspaper. It's out there.
Good. So see, it's getting out. Like I said, I was like on an island in June 2020, but now this stuff's getting out. And guess what? There's people that are in high positions that are beginning to do something about it. So I'm really excited about it. There are states now that are saying, you know what? Because I didn't realize this, but the states have big old pension plans, right? Some of y'all may be getting pensions off the states. And by the way, they cut that off anytime they want to. So here you are, 80 years old, you're like, oh man, I got this nice check coming in, I've been retired for all these years, and everything's just going great, and all of a sudden your check gets cut off like that. I don't think they won't do it, because they're already working on that kind of stuff. And the fact of the matter is that some of our legislators and governors are teaming up together and saying, you know what, if you're with BlackRock, you cannot be a proxy for our pension plans in our state. What that means is they're a proxy, it means they make decisions for the state and what they invest in. So what they're saying is, BlackRock, we're not going to let you make decisions for our pension plan. In fact, we're not going to let any of your money be used for our pension plan. So we're fighting back. That's what you have to do. And we're saying, you're not going to do it in our state. We've got a lot of that going on right now, a lot that we don't know about, a lot that we're starting to find out about. It's very encouraging. Any more questions or comments? that was one of those things where I was looking at Morningstar.com, I was looking at mutual funds, and I saw this ESG score. I'm like, what in the world is that? And I was studying, and I couldn't find anything on it. And so I finally figured it out. It's environmental social governance. So it's their standard, their moral standard, which is immorality. So in other words, if you want to get along, then they're going to look at your score with the environment. Do you have a gas car? If you do, then that goes against you. Do you believe in Christianity? Well, if that's true, then you're prejudiced, and that goes against the social part of it, because you're against lesbianism and things like that. So that goes against your score, too. So you come up to the bank and you say, you know what, I got a business I'm going to start. Sorry. Take money in the money. That's already happened, by the way. Banking accounts are being shut down in the United States. Good example of that is y'all know the pillow man, Mike Lindell. He's had his bank shut down. He had his phone confiscated last week. Well, he has all his information on his phone, and there was no justified reason to do it. And if they'll do it to him, they'll do it to you and him. They'll do it to him. What are you going to say?
I was going to say in the 200s, Tertullian, part of the Roman Empire, of course, he mentioned the fact and reminded in his writings that one out of every four people in the Roman Empire was Christian. And that's something that we tend to forget sometimes. We feel very alone in this fight, and that's how they want us to feel. But there's a lot more in this country, even though so many of them are confused in denominationalism, there's so many more people that believe in God than that don't,
yep.
and that want morality in this nation
yep.
than don't.
Exactly.
It's like in James 3 when it talks about the bit in the horse's mouth or the ship being turned by the helm. Just because mainstream media is controlled by five specific people,
elites,
elites, and because our government and so many people that are very few in number but have a great amount of wealth
yep.
are trying to steer our country, doesn't mean we have to obey that and follow its
course.
That's
exactly right.
We not believe it either.
Now let me ask y'all this real quickly. Do y'all know how many companies own our food supply? Four. You think our food supply can be interrupted? It already has. You think that's on accident? It's not. Any more questions or comments? Yes, sir.
You probably know more about this than I do. If I understand it correctly, there are three major investment companies.
Yes.
And what they did is they take the money that we put in on. And they kill specific companies. If you don't do
yes.
such and such, then we will not invest in your company. And Vanguard being one of the major ones.
Yes, sir. So the three main ones are BlackRock, Fidelity, and Vanguard. And they own most of the loan power.
And that's the reason a lot of companies. We wonder why they do certain things
like Coca-Cola. Why will they, go against their customers? Because it's like you won't be able to expand more of your Coke products. You won't be able to expand other countries because I'm going to give you the money. Your ESG score doesn't fit our standards.
And I think Vision is another one.
Yes, sir. Vision is another. Of course, they've been wanting to come away for a while, but, especially sitting down and going away.
And we wonder why they come up with these policies that if you go get a vaccine and you can't work for us, or if you don't do this, or if you put this on the internet, then we can fire you.
That's exactly right. And again, that's anti-institutional, it's anti-liberty, and it's anti-Bible. Because God does not mandate that we, in fact, the Bible clearly states that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're not bringing harm to them. Nobody should force us to do it. And what's crazy about it, we already been through this with Nazi Germany when they were forcing people to, do go through experiments. And as I began to study more on this, what's sad about it, the elites, now not us, but the elites have been doing this to Africans for years and years. They go to Africa and they'll try these different drugs on them. They use human experimentation in Africa because those people are most of them are so impoverished, and it's easy to get them to do something. And they put all the stuff in the kiln, just like they did with the Jews and others, in Germany. And we have the Nuremberg trials that says you can't do that anymore. Well, guess what? We've been doing it. We never stopped. Now, when I say we, I'm talking about the elites who are determined to ruin the United States of the world. And they're on the verge right now. Any more comments or questions? We're going for it. All right.